Hey, Jillian Anderson, thanks so much for taking the time to come on WTOP in Washington, D.C. How are you?
No problem. I am good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. WTOP listeners know Ms. Anderson from, you know, The X-Files, and she's getting ready to do Streetcar in New York coming up. But, you know, maybe we can get into that later towards the end if we have time. But, you know, the reason we're here to talk is about the new movie Sold, a powerful, powerful topic about child trafficking. Julian, how did you you guys filmed this, what, like in 2014 or something? How did you get involved with it initially?
Well, yes, we shot it a couple years ago. A couple years before that, I got a call from my good friend Jeffrey Brown, who is the director, who asked whether I would get involved with the movement behind the film. At the time, there wasn't really a character in it for me. By the time they ended up filming, they had created a character based on a real-life humanitarian photographer called Lisa Christine. That's a small aspect of a much bigger campaign that's going on right now. The campaign behind the film is actually bigger than all of it.
This is the hashtag Taught Not Trafficked?
Yes, and the campaign essentially to end child trafficking, to spread awareness globally about the industry of it that is out there. It's a $150 billion industry. The human slavery industry, and this film is basically a starting point, a talking point that can be screened in theaters around the States. If you're interested, you can go onto the website soldthemovie.com, and they will screen it in your hometown. You can see the film. You can start the conversation. You can have it screened in schools. There's a school version of it, and basically start the conversation locally so that we can get to the bottom of this atrocity that is going on in front of all of our noses around the world. It's in Washington, D.C. Child sex trafficking is in every city, in every country, on every continent. And it needs to be at the forefront of our conversations.
Yeah, talk about, you know, what you just mentioned. Talk about how it's not, you know, some problem from some faraway place like it is in the movie. I mean, as horrific as that is, too. But talk about how, you know, how big a problem it is here in America, too.
Yeah, well, it's so easy for us to dismiss topics when they feel like they're seas away from us, which is enough of a motivation to get people galvanized, hopefully, anyway. But the fact of the matter is that there are children who are being trafficked for sex, boys and girls, from, you know, as young as 3, 4, or 5 years old, up to, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, in every city in America. We've got stories and survivors from girls in Washington, D.C., in Atlantic City, in New York City, in Iowa, and it is something that is going on. It is the third fastest growing black market industry in the world.
Man.
They estimate that 1.8 million children a year are sold for sex trafficking. And there have been organizations that have been around for a long time, and they are building up steam. This movie is there to help spread awareness about this conversation and to start, you know, developing a movement behind it so that laws can be changed, so that governments can start taking it seriously, so that industry is not bolstered by this atrocity.
Yeah, seriously, imagine if it's, you know, imagine if that was your daughter. I mean, I think that's the easiest way in for most people. And once you think of it that way, or even if you don't have kids, I mean, it's just the age of these kids. It's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, it is. It's heartbreaking.
I'm pretty sure I know the movie. I think it's playing in New York and some other places early April, but I believe it comes to D.C. I think April 22nd. I'll double check on that, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay, fantastic. Yep, that's brilliant. And there's also, if you go to soldthemovie.com, you can actually ask for the movie to be screened in your hometown. Mm-hmm. If you find that the movie is not going to be shown anywhere near you, you can actually ask for it to be screened. And if you get 65 people together or more, they will screen it for you. They will hold the space so you can have a conversation or a meeting about it and about how each person can be active in growing the conversation in their community. And it's a very if you go to that website, there are lots of ways that people can be active in spreading the word and getting governments to put this at the forefront of their policies.
Absolutely. And I, what I always love is when I see, you know, sort of the follow through to stuff like this. I mean, I think we talked to Freda Pinto, who they did the Girl Rising campaign a couple months ago, and it was very similar. But, you know, talk about why it's important that, you know, you can sort of how this quote unquote fictional movie sort of is a way to a window in for average people to kind of get the idea initially and then to do the follow through.
Well, I mean, art is a very, very powerful and effective tool. And by, you know, getting to observe the experiences of one girl, she becomes the voice of the millions who don't have a voice and the millions who don't have a choice in their lives. And that's one of the most beautiful things about the work that I get to do, to be able to be a part of something that can be both beautiful and aesthetically beautiful, but also can elicit change. When people are moved by film or moved by art, they are often moved into action. And it's very difficult to see this film without asking the question at the end, what can I do?
Absolutely. And it's got to be one of the more rewarding parts of what you do. I mean, obviously you're, you know, award-winning famous actors in your own right, but it's, you know, you probably can do some of those more famous roles, and then that allows you to then do something like this. So I mean, how do you juggle it all? Do you do sort of one for the art, one for the cause, one for the entertainment, you know?
I'm not quite that altruistic, though, but yeah, I mean, it is a juggle. But when there's something like this, I mean, even when I'm initially asked to be the voice of a campaign in some way, my first instinct is, no, it's not. I'm not that person. I can't do that. It's too much. It's too intense. We were at the UN today in a panel talking about trafficking and the impact of arts on trafficking. And, you know, my first response wants to be, no, it's too scary.
Right.
But the fact is, this is so important, and we have to remember all those innocent voices, innocent faces, but behind this atrocity, that just they have no choice in their lives, and they are dying on a daily basis with the abuse and the beating and the systematic rape. And it's a really ugly issue, but it is there and it's happening and it's the truth, and we need to start talking about it.
Gotcha. And so when you're at the UN today, is that so are you sort of based at least temporarily out of New York? Because tell us, you have Streetcar coming up, right?
I do. I'm not starting that yet. I'm here just for this right now, and
gotcha.
Then I go away for a couple of weeks, and then I come back and start rehearsals for a Streetcar.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, how'd that role come about?
Streetcar is Blanche DuBois has been a character I've wanted to play for pretty much 30 years, and I live in London, and I have been working for a long time to try and get together a production of it. I helped put together this production in London at the Young Vic with my first choice of director, Benedict Andrews, and Ben Foster, amazing actor from the States, came over and played Stanley with us, and other Vanessa Kirby and Corey Johnson are in the play, and we were very well received, won awards, blah blah blah, and now we're bringing it to New York for a short run at St. Anne's Warehouse.
Awesome. Well, speaking of the kindness of strangers, do you have people coming, a new generation coming up to you as Scully? Is there sort of a new crop of fans that maybe missed
there
it the first time?
There sure is. It's uncanny, actually. I don't know if I really would have anticipated it. Just who are discover. I was at Legoland with my kids a couple weekends ago, and a father came up to me with his 14-year-old son and just, you know, said, I want to introduce my son to you. He's a big fan of the show. And I found myself saying, you know, so when did you discover it?
Yeah, right.
He said he discovered it like a year ago, and he's watched all the episodes and stuff. But it's almost like this rite of passage that's taking place. And the range of viewers and interest and of just from literally really young kids all of a sudden not just discovering it through the new season but going back and you know and watching the old ones, which to me look, you know, like they're so old and dated that they're getting really you know addicted. It's crazy.
That's awesome. And has the Mulder to your Scully, have you and David looked back on it after this sort of this six episodes run and been like, I'm glad we revived that?
I think we were glad about it from the beginning. From the moment that we decided that it was something that we were going to do, it was fun for us. And we knew that we were making the right decision, and then it just became about how to best give the fans what it is they've been telling us they wanted this whole time. And I think that Chris and the writers, you know, pretty much did that in the nature of the episodes that they put together. So, it was fun.
Yeah, and there's, at least judging from the new pilot on, you guys have, it's this new internet post 9/11 NSA. It's like ripe for these conspiracies.
It's a good time for the X-Files plot scripts.
The truth has never been more out there. That's awesome.
Yes.
Do you pinch yourself and think, man, I mean, you guys are one of the great buddy teams in TV/movie history now. It's got to be wild to even think you're part of that.
It is wild to think of. I mean, for a long time, I think we just, you know, we thought fondly back on our time working on the show together, and the fact that it's been yanked back into the current conversation and that we still get to be those buddies. You know, it's one thing to go, oh, wasn't that, well, weren't we lucky? But then to get to jump back into those shoes again and play on what makes their dynamic so appealing is quite fun.
Yeah, it's not just nostalgic. It's alive and happening.
Yeah,
are you guys,
exactly.
Is there going to be any more word
I don't know yet. They're still talking about
it. I'm sure you're like, stop asking me. Everyone's asking me that.
No. I'm used to that. I mean, it's usually, when is the next X-Files film going to come?
Right.
Now it's just, when is the next series of episodes going to come? And I still, like always, I'm the last to find out.
Right. Well, are you hopeful there will be another one?
I don't know yet. On many levels, I think so. But, you know, I've got three kids. I live in London. I've got a lot of other commitments. And I want to, for the sake of the fandom out there. And on the other hand, my old butt just wants to take it easy.
Okay, well, that's definitely understandable. Well, the good thing is, with whether it's X-Files or Streetcar or whatever else you've, all the other great things you've done, you can lend it to a great cause like this. The movie is sold. I believe it comes down here in D.C. on April 22nd. Thanks so much for lending your voice and your, you know, your fame and influence and everything to such a great cause.
Thank you so much for talking about it. I really appreciate the airtime.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaking topic. So thank you so much, Jillian Anderson on WTOP. Thank you so much.
Thank you.